San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, May 26, 2024. Today's lesson is Remembering the Faithful with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome home. To your spiritual home, your spiritual community, right here, the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. And as this is Memorial Day weekend, we will be talking a bit about what it means to us as a nation, what it means to us as a community and as a family. So I invite you to just become comfortable in your seat as we begin this. For I know that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty. One indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move, and have our being. And so it is.
And so it is.
So yeah, today, our lesson is remembering the faithful. Remembering the faithful. As we wrap up our month of May, which has been living in faith. When we think of the word remembering, what we normally think of is recalling to the forefront of our mind. But I want to mention a little bit different way of looking at it. If we think of dismembering, we think of taking things apart, separating it into different pieces. So if we look at that from the other side as remembering, we are bringing things back together. We are working at making something that has been separated whole again. Remembering, putting it back together. So as we talk today, keep that in the back of your mind, that we are bringing everything back together to a foundation of faith. A foundation of faith. We have Memorial Day tomorrow, and memorial means to remember. We are remembering something. In a memorial, we are remembering it in a ceremonial type way. And so that's one of the things that we are doing this entire weekend is focused on, believe it or not, tomorrow. All our picnics, all our parties, all our games and outdoor play and concerts and all of that are set around a very sacred moment, tomorrow. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. The celebration of Memorial Day is looked at as the beginning of summer, when the pools open, when the picnics start, when you can wear white shoes. But there is also a national moment of remembrance, and it is at 3 o'clock p.m. tomorrow on Memorial Day. It's 1 minute long. This was established by Congress in the year 2000 because a group of kids were touring the White House, and they were asked, "What does Memorial Day mean?" And they came up with the start of summer, the opening pools, the this, the that, the outer celebrations, not the reason behind them. So Congress thought by instituting this pause for 1 minute that we would then have an act of national unity. Now, why didn't we have this all along? Because lives were very different starting in 1868. Lives were very different. People, when they had a memorial, they gathered, and yes, they would have a picnic or they would have a band playing, but they would remember very seriously why they were there, because it was a depth within their heart that was grateful for those who had passed on. So what is Memorial Day? I have some notes from Reverend John that I'm going to share with you. Abraham Lincoln honored the fallen soldiers in 1863 at the end of his Gettysburg Address. And this passage from his speech is often recited on Memorial Day. It is rather for us to be here, dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. And those words became the purpose and the inspiration of Memorial Day. It's an official United States federal holiday that was first enacted to honor Union soldiers of the American Civil War by President Abraham Lincoln. 3 years after the Civil War ended, on May 5th, 1868, the head of an organization of Union veterans, the Grand Army of the Republic, established Decoration Day as a time for the nation to decorate the graves of the war dead with flowers. Major General John A. Logan declared that Decoration Day should be observed on May 30th. It is believed that date was chosen because flowers would be in bloom all over the country at that time of year. Now, May 30th was the first time, but what we know now is that it is the last Monday in May. The first large observance of Memorial Day was held that year, 1868, at Arlington National Cemetery across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. The ceremony centered around the black fabric draped veranda of the Arlington Mansion, which was once the home of General Robert E. Lee. In 1882, the name of Decoration Day was formally changed to Memorial Day and is now observed on the last Monday of May, which is tomorrow, May 27th. So that's what Memorial Day was. That's what we were looking at, to remember those who were faithful. In the Civil War, each side felt that they were the ones in the right. You can't go to war over something you don't believe in when you're going to war against those that you love. So after the war, we had a reunion, a reunification. We had to have faith that we as a nation of individual people could see beyond the disagreements that had been settled by the treaties, agreements, surrender terms, whatever they were at the end of the Civil War. We're saying, okay, everything is settled now. And you've got still a nation of people in shock. You say it's settled. Look at my life. I don't feel settled. I feel ripped apart from the inside out. How are we going to get back to a sense of belonging with each other? How are we going to get back to a sense of oneness? How are we going to get back to where we see each other as family again, as community again, as one nation under God? Well, we have to start with faith. We have to start with faith. The Divine Science International Foundation puts out these wonderful things that I get emails. And so I want to share one from Reverend Dr. Elizabeth Ann Morgan that is titled, Faith in What? Whom? H.B. Jeffrey, who is a New Thought luminary, illuminated for a contemporary audience St. Paul's Fruit of the Spirit, faith, inviting us to consider in what or whom we believe, in what or whom we have faith. This can give us surprising results, sometimes disappointing results. What might we have faith in? My partner will never cheat on me. My child will never take drugs. Peace reigns on my block. My job is secure. The lights will not fail. My identity is secure. My home is secure. Terrorists do not concern me. My freedoms are not endangered. I have faith in my loved ones, the system, the American way. We can cherish these beliefs until we can't. That's what Reverend Elizabeth says. We can cherish these beliefs until we can't. So what is it safe to believe in? Powerful question. That's a deep question. That's a question that can make you just suddenly sit down and think, what or whom is it safe to believe? H.B. Jeffrey said, faith is a way of knowing, a conviction that what we do not yet see in the outer, but of which we have the perfect idea, is now true, already a reality, and therefore it must become visible and tangible. What is he saying? He's saying our faith is this conviction that we absolutely know that whether or not we see it out there, it's already done in spirit. We know without doubt that it is already done, and therefore it must become visible. It must become tangible. That's how the universe works. Reverend Elizabeth says, this knowledge, this conviction, must be our habitual conscious state of mind. Divine mind, via our expectation to know truth, to walk, talk, live, produce, demonstrate the spirit way, will solidify our awareness of the mind of God in tune with our state of consciousness. That's a long way of expressing one of our this morning's quotes from Ernest Holmes. No matter what the lips may be saying, the inner thought outspeaks them, and the unspoken word often carries more weight than the spoken. Which means you can have this deep-seated faith, and you don't have to go around talking about it all the time. You can know it deeply within you, and that will become manifest in your life. It goes the other way too. But basically, what you deeply believe is what's showing up in your life. Dr. Irvin Seal says the power is not in the conditions, but in the mood you allow them to produce in your consciousness. So if you're sitting around and there's a lot of things, your life looks like a blender with the lid popped off, so everything's just flying all over, you can still, in your consciousness, realize that's just outer stuff. It's going to make a mess and somebody's going to have to clean it. But what I know inside is pure. What I know inside is clean. What I am remembering inside is that I am put together. I am one with the divine. Therefore, I am whole. Doesn't matter the mess that blender with no lid is making. Doesn't matter if it's liquid or solid that was in that blender. It's going to make a mess. But you are pure. You are whole. You are complete. Your faith has made you whole. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Okay. So, place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. On this Memorial Day weekend,
on this Memorial Day weekend,
I take this sacred opportunity,
I take this sacred opportunity,
to remember, and to give thanks, to those who have given the ultimate sacrifice,
to those who have given the ultimate sacrifice,
in service to our country,
in service to our country.
And so it is.
And so it is.
So simply breathe. Just breathe. Remembering the faithful. Why would these people fight for our nation? Whether it was in the Civil War or any other war. Because now that Decoration Day, Memorial Day has been established, we honor all of those who served and have passed on. They may not have died while in service, but they did serve. All gave some during their service. Some gave all. Why on earth? What did these people have faith in? They had faith in self-governance. They had faith in people having the ability to have independent thought and action. Remember, we are a country that was formed based on government of, for, and by the people. We threw off a monarchy where the king got to say and do whatever the king wanted, no matter what. The king wanted our house, we got kicked out. King wanted our children to go serve in the military, they'd go to the bars, get people drunk, knock them over the head, and take them on a boat, conscript them. Living under a monarchy meant that we did not have freedom of our own purpose, freedom of action. Meant that we were not even allowed to speak out against the government, because if we said, that president sucks, that was treason and we could be killed. If we said, that person in parliament is a crook, that would be treason and we could be killed, executed. So yeah, there were a lot of good reasons for us to become an independent nation. A lot. Why would we fight to hang on to that? Because it's who we are. The belief in self-governance, the belief in independent thought and action, the belief in the goodness of providence, their God, their creator, all of these things those people believed in. But were those beliefs really theirs? Are they not all of ours? Do we not all believe that? That would be how we would form a bond as the people of a nation. It is how bands of brothers were formed, working together in common cause for a common set of core values. All over our nation, from its founding, there are monuments that include the Ten Commandments from the Bible. Does that mean that we all have to be Christian? No. What it means is that these are basic rules that a free and prosperous nation agrees to uphold. The fact that they were in the Bible is a nice to have. These are just very basic, fundamental, respect yourself and others, treat others the way you would like to be treated, just basic rules for our nation to agree to uphold. And these things are enshrined in our founding documents. There's an extra quote on your program inserts. It's on the front page. It says, on Memorial Day weekend, we invite you to think about the past and consider the sacrifices men and women in the military have made for us. That's from Gary G. Wetzel. Interesting side note. I don't always look up the people who say these things that touch me. And it occurred to me that since I had no idea who this Gary Wetzel was, from what he said, he could be anybody. He could be somebody from the Far East talking about the people who wear suicide bombs. And I didn't want to convey the kind of message that, hey, yeah, let's go out and honor all these suicide bombers. No, this is our Memorial Day. Our Memorial Day. So I looked him up. And it turns out he is a Medal of Honor recipient. And he's a part of the organization that is recording the stories of our veterans that have earned these medals. Those that are still living, they go and they talk to them and they record their stories. And I thought, wow, I'm glad I looked him up. I'm glad I can have faith in the person that I'm quoting. Remembering the faithful. Something else, couple of other quotes. George Washington, our first president of the United States of America under our Constitution, said, "Every post is honorable in which a man can serve his country." That means not everybody had to go to war. There were people who were supporting the war effort. There were logisticians. There were arms makers. There were farmers growing food. Every post is honorable when we are serving our country. And if you think about what we're doing here, right now, we are, in a way, serving our country. We are serving our own conscious community. We are honoring what has come before. We are being present for each other. That's huge. We are being faithful to our commitment to each other right here and right now. How are you possibly being faithful? Well, for one thing, you're not jumping up and down shouting at me. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Lucian Adams said, "The legacy of brave men and women who have fought and died for their country is the freedom we enjoy as Americans." Meaning, if they hadn't fought, if they hadn't guaranteed our freedoms, we would not have them today. What if the Civil War had ended differently? There would be things in our nation of which none of us could be proud. There would be probably still slavery. And that is a stain and an embarrassment on our nation. And the big thing that we as a nation can say is, we fought a war with ourselves to end it. It was that important. We fought a war with our own selves to end this atrocious mistreatment of human beings. So yes, back in the day, slavery was status quo. It has been forever. That's what nations do. That doesn't make it right. And it doesn't make it right for anybody to perpetuate it. So though the Civil War was costly, it also gave us great gifts of the wholeness and the freedom that we all have now, all of us. I want to say something about broken families. Oh, wait a minute. One more quote. JFK, John F. Kennedy, in 1962, in his Memorial Day speech, "Americans may not only pay tribute to our honored dead, but also unite in prayer for success in our search for a just and lasting peace." We are still looking for a just and lasting peace. And we need to be faithful in our hearts to know that peace is possible, that peace is here and now, even if we don't see it. Even if it looks like that blender spinning around without its top, peace is within. In a tornado, the eye of the tornado, the eye of the hurricane, is the center of peace. Nothing is going on in there. It's absolutely still. All that chaos is going around on the outside of peace. Let us be the eye of the storm, where the peace is. During the Civil War, families were broken by siblings and parents, relatives, choosing different sides on which to stand their ground and fight for what they believed was right. I said before, both sides thought they were right. You don't go half-heartedly into war against your brother or your father. When you hear people say brothers were fighting against brothers, that is a literal truth. Families mourned the loss of both their Union and Confederate sons, parents, brothers, and cousins. Politics cannot break the bonds of family, though politics can stretch and strain them painfully. I have family members that are not speaking to each other right now over their politics. And it's like, holy moly, guys, get over yourselves. Look at the whole big picture. Yeah, this one is saying stuff you don't like. This one is saying stuff you don't like. Nobody is going to be perfectly in alignment with exactly what you want. And even Ronald Reagan said, hey, when you're in negotiations, if you get 80% of what you want, count that a huge win. Count that a huge win. So these families were stretched and strained and in pain. Decorating the graves of the fallen was an opportunity to express the faith that our nation could heal. It expressed the faith that families previously divided could heal. That regardless of appearances of separation, there was oneness and unity beneath it all. There's a practice in Japan called kintsugi. It raises repairing porcelain to an art form and a philosophy. Porcelain is of great value because it is so fragile. Broken porcelain, jars or teapots, can be mended through this process of kintsugi with lacquer and gold dust that enriches its beauty and strengthens its structure. How did kintsugi ever get started? Way, way, way back in the day, some Ming Tang something dynasty, way, 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 thousands of years ago, the emperor had a favorite teapot and it broke. And everybody said, well, just get a new teapot. He goes, no, that's my teapot. I want my teapot. And so Master Craftsman came and looked at the pieces of his teapot and used lacquer to put it together again. But instead of just cracks, the lacquer was dipped in gold dust and then the pieces were put back together. So it was a piece of art with a greater meaning for that emperor, meaning that no matter what breaks, it can be put back together with faith. So today we are remembering the faithful. And so I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.